Anything worth saying is worth talking about. Deprogram with Michael Parker on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, Truth Seekers, it is the third hour of Deprogram. We'll be joined in just minutes by Craig Brill. He is an independent running for Los Angeles County Supervisor, District 3. Before we do that, I'm going to run down three quick news stories. And the first one, this is a really weird one. There is this video that is on YouTube right now. It's 2 minutes long. It was posted May 2nd, and supposedly it's coming from the 4th Psychological Operations Group, known as PSYOP, out of Fort Bragg. It's a recruitment video, and it looks like a cross between like a horror film trailer, a rock music video, and a video game. And it's got all these dark, weird images. It starts out with a quote from Sun Tzu. It starts, and then after that, it says, "Have you ever wondered who's pulling the strings?" The video asks. "You'll find us in the shadows at the tip of the spear. Anything we touch is a weapon. We can deceive, persuade, change, influence, inspire. We come in many forms. We are everywhere." Okay, so this is coming from a portion of the American military. On one hand, you might say, well, they're just trying to be exciting, and if we want new recruits, we need young people who are raised on video games to think that they're going to be joining something new and exciting. Or who knows, maybe they're just putting out there to troll people like me and the media to get attention. I don't know. But they spoke to one member of that group, of the 4th Psychological Operations Group. His name was Colonel Chris Stangle. He told news outlets the video is purposely vague and demonstrates that a big part of psychological operations is creating persuasive media. Anyway, well, you can see it for yourself, and it's out there. It's Fort Bragg recruitment video. Just look for it on YouTube. Another thing that's interesting is, and this is being reported everywhere, it says, game over. Google's DeepMind says it's close to achieving human-level artificial intelligence, but it still needs to be scaled up. DeepMind is a British company that was purchased by Google a while back, and they claim to be on the verge of achieving human-level artificial intelligence. Nando DeFreitas, he is a research scientist at DeepMind and a machine learning professor at Oxford University, said, solving the hardest challenges in the race to achieve artificial general intelligence is over. That we've done that. Now it's just a matter of scale. And critics are saying, well, hold on a minute. There's one gentleman, Tiernan Ray. Well, I'm assuming that's a male name. I could be wrong. From ZDNet, this columnist said, the agent is actually not so great on several tasks, meaning that this particular program whose name, or AI whose name is Gatto, is actually not sophisticated as they're making it sound and actually fails on some simple tests. But I guess we could take heart in that, and that our future artificial intelligence overlord God is not as close as we once thought. Finally, Vice is reporting that a 830 million year old microorganisms have been found in a piece of Australian rock salt, a halide, and these organisms may still be alive. Okay, so we're talking about microorganisms almost a billion years old. They found proof of them, and they may be alive. And if they're not alive, who knows? They might be able to reanimate them. This was detailed in a paper published in the journal called Geology. A team out of West Virginia University located the microorganisms in a piece of ancient halite, the mineral form of sodium chloride. What happens is when these organisms are found in like a bubble or a gas and it becomes trapped in a rock, it's almost a state of perpetual, what's the word I'm looking for here? Well, there is the possibility that the things can be preserved, which brings to mind the idea of panspermia, which we'll be touching on in just a few weeks on this show. The idea that organisms could exist off planet, say in a desert type area like Mars, because these are extreme organisms and they can kind of hibernate, if you will, or be protected within these types of environments. So there you have it. The future ain't what it used to be. There's no flying cars, but you may have PSYOP videos by the military. You may have artificial intelligence running your life, and you may have reactivated 1 billion year old organisms. What could possibly go wrong? I kid, of course. This is TNT.
Stay in the loop all day.
And the only radio station that helps me through a long day.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right. So this hour, we're going to be joined by Craig Brill. I believe he's an independent because it says independent in the website. He's running for Los Angeles County Supervisor, District 3. And Craig, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for being here, brother. I was reading about you, and you and I actually have something in common. I used to work for Bullocks, too, back in the early 90s. Yeah.
Me, too.
I know. When I first moved here and I didn't know anybody and I desperately needed a job and needed to meet some people, I went to a temp agency and they put me at Bullocks over there in the Beverly Center when it still existed. So when I was reading your bio and your background in fashion and merchandising, that I was like, right on.
Yeah. What department did you work in?
I was in display. So it was funny display, for a guy that looked. And what's funny is, you know, I look like a guy that just got thrown out of Soundgarden or something. And I didn't really look the part to be working in display, but I was there for a while. I had fun. But hey, let's talk about you, man. Let's talk about you. So you want to run for this position, and I don't want to give away too much, but I think I see something that may have inspired you. But just tell us about you and why you want to run for LA County Supervisor.
Well, that's a long one.
We got time, brother.
Most individuals, you know, you go about voting and you don't really pay attention to your local government and what they're doing and what they're not doing. You're busy, you're working, you're raising your families, you're hanging out with, you know, spending time with friends and family and just basically living life, trying to pay your bills from day to day. And last year, during the beginning of the pandemic, we were struck in our neighborhood with a homeless encampment down the street from us. And one of those residents of that encampment was breaking into, trespassing into people's backyards, hopping fences. And it eventually led to the brutal stabbing of my neighbor, Gabriel Donne, in his driveway. And then the suspect ended up taking his own life. And when we learned the circumstances of the suspect, I looked at it and said, wow, not only did our government fail Gabe by not protecting him and not cleaning up these homeless encampments, but it felled the guy who stabbed him to death, Enoch Connors, who was in and out of jail, suffered from mental illness. And instead of getting him the treatment he needed, you know, our government just puts him in jail and revolves the door, sends him right back out. Activists will, you know, come out and give these people tents and let them just hang out and crash. In our neighborhoods, doing drugs, needles, feces everywhere, things that kids have to walk through. And I just said, this is insanity. What the hell's going on? And the more I looked into it, the more I tried to get government help to solve these issues, I just kept getting hit with brick walls. I couldn't get anywhere with Sheila Kuehl's office. I couldn't get anywhere with my state senator or my state representative. I pushed, was lobbying to try to push to get AB 1340 passed that would give us stronger agency to take conservatorship of those that can't take care of themselves. Yes. And get them into facilities that they can be treated and hopefully reenter society. I joined my local city councilman's Committee on Homelessness, and basically we were turned into real estate agents tasked with finding locations for safe parking, temporary shelters, wherever in the district. And I was the most prolific agent coming up with solutions, and every solution we came up with, we were told no, that we can't use that space, or it's five blocks out of the district, that's in Mark Ridley Thomas's district. I'm like, excuse me, it's five blocks. Why can't the councilman go into MRT's office and say, hey, we got a perfect location. Let's work together and let's get it done. But the bureaucratic nightmare of our government, lets the enemy of the good ruin what could be great possible solutions to get people off the street and into the treatment that they need so they can re-enter society as productive citizens.
Agreed. So let me ask you this. So I think you're running as an independent. Is that correct?
I am. Okay. I have soured on the two-party system.
I get it.
See corruption on both sides. I tend to lean a little bit more on the conservative side. I'd say a moderate right-leaning candidate with a little libertarian bent.
Same here.
But there are certain things government should be doing, and taking care of the least among us, especially those with mental disabilities and disabilities, is one thing I think government should do and should do well. And it's failing on all respects.
Big
and
time.
Has been for decades.
You're absolutely correct, Craig. So when you told the story about your neighbor, that was what I thought had to be clearly what inspired you to do this. And, you know, when I don't contribute to this my wife's on Nextdoor. I have the Nextdoor app and I read what people say. I'm over kind of between Studio City and North Hollywood, the little area they call Valley Village.
Yes.
And just like the rest of LA, you know, the homeless thing over here is out of control. We talk about this thing numerous times a week on my show. And even though TNT is based out of Australia, you know, the homeless situation is not just relegated to Los Angeles. It's most major urban cities. And I'm guessing it's probably the same in other countries. But when I read people's responses, like on Nextdoor, to threads about homelessness, it's like, I think they're still being, and we all have empathy, we all have compassion, but some people still think that, okay, well, you can't, just because they can't make the decision for themselves, you can't take them and put them into a particular situation to try to help them. I'm not explaining this very quick, but it's just, I think we're still a bit rose tinted sometimes, some of us, about how we deal with the situation, which is extremely difficult. And I would say crime and homelessness are easily the two biggest issues in Los Angeles County, LA City. Gas has come up, but that's a recent thing. But these are the two biggest issues and have been for a long time.
And they're related to each other. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, if you know you're poor and you're homeless and you have mental illness, I mean, you're going to have to steal to survive. You're going to have to break the law to survive. And not only that, but they're also victimized by drug dealers, gangs, sex traffickers. The amount of women who are raped that are living on the streets, mentally ill women that are raped and abused on the streets is, it's tragic and it's horrific. And the fact that our career politicians who have been in elected office, many for decades, continue to allow this to happen, continue to allow our public spaces to be taken over. No one wants to criminalize poor people for being poor, and nobody wants to criminalize mentally ill people for being mentally ill.
No.
But what I will say is, if you are mentally ill and you need treatment, then we need to get you into a treatment facility, you know, some type of assisted living facility. You know, when grandma has Alzheimer's or dementia, we don't give her a tent and a bottle of water and send her out on the street. We put her in a nice home, right? Yeah. We take care of her. We make sure she has the proper medical conditions. You know, it's amazing that all these so-called activists want to, you know, quote, give everybody who has a mental illness their civil liberties. And while I, being a libertarian, bent, have a hard time taking away people's civil liberties when they don't have agency to care for themselves. Living on the street is, to me, a grave danger. And we need to get them off the streets and into treatment. To me, that's the most compassionate thing that we can do for them. Across the nation, we're reducing our homeless population. We've reduced it by about 18%. You've got 14 cities and counties that are basically at functional zero, another 98 that are 50% of the way there. While LA County is grown by 40%. Our opioid deaths are up 67%. And these are mostly people of color. So if our elected officials, you know, keep virtue signaling about, you know, how they're centering their policies on communities of color and marginalized communities, well, the homeless population, the mentally ill and the disabled are our most vulnerable populations. Where is that centering of policy when we're allowing over 2,300 people to die last year just from opiate, from overdoses between fentanyl and methamphetamine? To me, that's inhumane.
Of course it is. And you mentioned that there were communities. Now, I don't know if this is on the national level or state level, but you said that there were cities and counties that were reducing their numbers. How are they doing that? And what can we take away from it and just do the same thing here?
Basically, they're doing it. Most of them are working with or using the policies of a nonprofit called Built for Zero, which sends actual medical professionals out and caseworkers out. They actually live in real-time data. They know who's homeless, where they're homeless, and why they're homeless. So that way we can send out the proper resources to each homeless individual. You know, if you're just a single mother who got evicted because you couldn't pay your rent because you got your car fixed, then you know what? We give you your Section 8 voucher. We get you into housing right away. If you're an addict, then, you know, the answer is you can't sit here and openly do drugs in an open air drug market. You either need to go to rehab, which we will pay for, or you can spend a few nights in jail until you figure out what you want to do. And for the mentally ill, we need to get them off the streets and into treatment. And we need to rapidly build up our mental health system in LA County. We are woefully underfunded. We don't have enough beds to even get them off the streets if we wanted to. We're supposed to have at minimum 50 beds per 100,000 people. We have 22.7. We need about 5,000 to 6,000 beds, and that's just for automatic 5150s to keep people overnight when they're in a mental health crisis. That's not even considering the beds that we need to after they're in a 5150 and medical professionals and family members consult and go to a judge and say, we need to take conservatorship of them and put them into some type of treatment facility where they can get the actual medical help that they need. We don't even have that. So that needs to be stepped up immediately. And while the county is wasting billions of dollars building $800 to $1 million units, the city and the county, to put homeless people in and to put mentally ill people in, it's a tragedy. We're never going to build our way out of it with $800,000 apartments.
Obviously. And this, Craig, we've talked about this, you know, several times on my show. I mean, it's ridiculous. And, so what we could do, existing infrastructure that's unused or partially used, let's just renovate that a little bit and put some of those folks in there. I mean, the idea, okay, we got to start from scratch. So we've got to get real estate. We've got to go through all the building regulations and labor unions and all of that. Because one of the things I did hear about this high price per unit is that, you know, a portion of this is just the regulations associated with building. So it is not practical on any level. Also, okay, and then you take the money out of it, there's still the time and the real estate. And dude, there's no real estate here.
The time you could rapidly build housing. Once a developer gets through his 2 to 5 year permitting process, which you know, slows up the process, drives up the cost. If we could get past that, once the developer has the means to actually build it and the permits to build those units, you see them going up all over the city. They go up pretty quickly. And we have plenty of vacant land in the county That we could be utilizing, that we could be either leasing to developers cheaply to even get it built cheaper. You know, there's a development going, low-income development housing project going up at the West LA Civic Center. It's a joint, sort of joint operation between the city and the county because the two properties are owned by one. But nobody's talking to each other. The county's not really talking to the city. The city's not talking to the county. They both are working with two different developers, and the county's on their part of the land is ghettoizing low-income housing all on their land, while the city is putting market rate housing with some low-income housing mixed in, and they're taking up free space. There's a sort of a courtyard, in large courtyard, town square in there that should be utilized because the west side is extremely park poor. Yep. But you when you talk to government officials about it, and they say, well, the county has their rules, and well, we can't move the library because the library has their own charter and they don't want to move. And Parks and Recs runs the senior center and they don't want housing built on top of their senior center. So there's nothing we can do. And I'm like, what do you mean there's nothing you can do? Who runs the government? Is it not the Board of Supervisors? Is it not the City Council and the Mayor's Office? Why can't people be talking to each other and actually coming up with solutions so that when we take a once in a lifetime opportunity to redevelop a aged out county and city property, that we're not utilizing it to the maximum and best potential that that property has because some little podunk agency decides that we like our rundown little library instead of going, wait a minute, that makes no sense. And that's the problem with government is nobody is looking at problems from a common sense perspective. It's just constant infighting, constant bureaucratic nightmares, and the leaders don't lead. They don't take direct action to lead. And that's the problem.
I'm speaking with Craig Brill. He's an independent running for Los Angeles County Supervisor, District 3. We're going to take a quick break. This is Deprogram. My name is Michael Parker. You're listening to TNT Radio. We'll be right back.
You should hear what Jesse Zerowell is talking about.
I wholeheartedly stand behind that. And I've been really galled by the increasing rhetoric about how this is what's happening in Ukraine is part of the Great Reset agenda. And some people even going so far as to say that all of this is staged or phony or orchestrated. What I just read is your response to that, but maybe we can talk about that a little bit because I think it needs to be addressed and put in its place.
It's being amplified by the media discourse, of course, Western media discourse, which are eliciting sympathy for Ukrainians because they're white, they're blue-eyed, they're blonde-haired, they look like us, they dress like us. I mean, this kind of language is actually being used, which is, I mean, it's racism.
Jesse Zerowell on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
The United States government has declared you an enemy of the state. For the first time in history, a foreign journalist has been charged under the U.S. Espionage Act for publishing truthful information about war crimes. If convicted, our right to free press is over. We have been led to despise the journalist charged by a massive smear campaign directed at both the left and the right, yet his record speaks for itself.
He's the only journalist to have never gotten it wrong.
The charges are opposed by all major human rights and free press organizations, but our once trusted news outlets have failed to inform us. It is not too late. We can demand the UK stop the extradition of journalist and publisher Julian Assange. We can demand the Department of Justice drop the charges. Call UK Home Secretary Priti Patel at 020-7219-3528 or call the Department of Justice at 202-514-2000. They are not after him. They're after us.
My name is Latoy Adams. I served in the Army. Being with Paralyzed Veterans of America, they have showed me so much is possible.
I'm Sean Castle, served in the United States Army. I went from laying in a hospital bed dying to being a professional wheelchair basketball player. And it started with that one moment where there's life. I am unstoppable because Paralyzed Veterans of America is by my side.
We are unstoppable.
Learn more at PVA.org.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNTRadio.live.
This is TNT Radio. My show is Deprogrammed. I am your host, Michael Parker, and we are talking to Craig Brill. He's an independent running for Los Angeles County Supervisor. Right before the break, we were talking about, and this is probably not a surprise to anyone, but the infrastructure of government here in Los Angeles often does not talk to each other in a manner that makes it easy to get things done. We were talking about the fact that housing could be built, but there's regulations, there's time constraints, there's turf wars. But Craig, to revisit this, are we in agreement that you think that existing infrastructure would be better suited than even trying to build any of this?
Oh, absolutely. We could we could take and revamp empty office buildings that we know that people aren't going back to offices. There's plenty of empty office space. We have plenty of empty warehouse space in our, you know, light industrial zones that we can repurpose into semi-private congregate shelter to get people off the streets immediately. There's no reason, but it's the bureaucracy that is stopping this. When you have sitting on my city council's homeless committee, they were all excited because they're taking some hotels and turning them into, with Project Room Key, shelters for the homeless. Well, their regulations to put people in these rooms is they have to have their own kitchens. Well, that's nice and dandy, but they're saying it's going to cost $200,000 to $300,000 to revamp these things to put a kitchen in. Now, I've remodeled my kitchen. I know what it takes. You could go to IKEA, buy your little kitchen cabinet with the sink for a couple grand, put in a tiny little stove or a hot plate, and they would have a functioning kitchen in their little hotel room. But even outside of that, why not get them into the hotel room and then use a separate part of the hotel or bring in an offsite kitchen that could provide their meals for them and get them off the streets faster? So nobody's thinking with any common sense. It's just what the building trade unions want, right? Well, you know, we can't just put someone in here. We've got to, you know, make it habitable. It has to meet current regulations. Well, it didn't have to meet current regulations when people were paying to rent these rooms. Why does it suddenly now have to meet current regulations? Because we're going to immediately put some homeless house, make it, turn it into housing for the unhoused and for the homeless. It's insanity. We'll never meet the needs of our unhoused population this way. We're estimating, I don't even think the final count's out yet from this last count, but it's probably we're looking at 80,000 to 90,000, maybe even more people living and dying on our streets. It's cruel. It's inhumane. I don't know any other way to describe it. And when I look at activist groups that tell us, leave these people alone, let them stay on our sidewalks, let them continue using their drugs, and this quote, harm reduction model, I don't see that as harm reduction. I see more people dying. I see more people suffering. And I have to wonder, do they have some financial incentive to keep these people on the street? Whether they're part of the drug trade or the homeless industrial complex, I don't know. But I can't imagine how any rational, sane human being can justify letting 65 to 90,000 fellow citizens suffer on our streets. It's mind-boggling. I can't wrap my hand around it.
Craig, I can't agree more. And a couple of things to what you said. I think that some people still have this just, you know, unicorn, rainbow, utopia thing in their mind that, you know, somehow if we put them in some type of housing that's, you know, that's actually equivalent to incarceration or something. The other thing is that the other thing that bugs me about it, because listen, anybody that's got half a brain wants to help the people. Look, we want to help. Correct. Them. We want, you know, every we're all on, we all agree with that. So yes, none of us absolutely. Don't want to help. None of us don't want to help them. But here's the problem. The thing is, it's like all of this money that has been spent to work on this problem seems to go into this black hole. It doesn't yield results. The population of the homeless increases. Now this actually make, even though there's a gigantic amount of them, you know, you said possibly 80 or 90,000. That wouldn't surprise me, because I've always said that all of the counts of the homeless has got to be undercounted, because the homeless.
It's completely, well, it's somewhat undercounted, and I would say sometimes maybe even overcounted to a certain degree. I did the homeless count this year.
Oh,
and it was a joke. They send out all these volunteers. There's no engagement. You're not allowed to talk to any of the homeless people. We were told, well, if there's a tent that looks like it can fit four people, count four people. I said, what if there's only one person in there? Oh, don't worry, because the more we can count, the more federal dollars that we get. Oh. I'm like, this, are you kidding me? This is insanity. We shouldn't be counting to get federal dollars. We should be counting so we know who's homeless, why they're homeless, and where they're homeless, so we can actually get them the help. Why aren't there coordinated teams of professionals out there actually engaging on these count nights? And nobody could give me an answer. They're like, well, they go out every day and engage with them. I'm like, you know, they send out recent, you know, social grads with bottles of water and clipboards, and then they don't even pay them enough to do the job that many of them need the same services that the homeless need, you know, paying basically what most activists would call poverty wages, you know, starting salary at $29,000 a year for a social worker graduate, that they end up needing, you know, housing assistance. Some of them are homeless. And I have my issues with Heidi Marston, but, you know, when she tried to raise their wages to give them at least $50,000 so they can afford to live in LA by freezing, you know, the top executives all making six figures and over for only 3 years. Now, I think if you make six figures in LA, yeah, it may be still be hard because you're sending your kid to private school and you know, you're driving a Lexus and not a Toyota. So yeah, it may hurt you a little bit, but I think you could take it in on the chin to actually help people below you. And they were unwilling to do that. So, you know, Heidi left. She said, I can't run the agency. What am I doing here? The entire LASA agency was basically set up to fail, and it's failed miserably. It's wasted billions of dollars pumping it out to our homeless nonprofits, and nobody's being held accountable, whether the nonprofit does well or it does bad. If it does bad, nobody's saying, hey, you're not meeting your metrics, we're going to take your funding away next year unless things change. It's not happening. We just keep piling more money, more money, more money. The nonprofit director's salaries keep going up and up and up. Mm-hmm. And nothing changes. It's honestly, it's a disaster.
Craig, you used a term, I think you call it the homeless industrial complex.
Yes. And I actually got that term from people that work in that industry.
Holy cow. Well, you know what? Okay. That explains a lot. And when I said that I thought that most homeless counts were undercounted, I've always just thought that because, like, if I'm homeless, I might not want to be counted. So I see you come up with your clipboard. I don't want you to know, you know, I thought they might try to evade those people so it would be undercounted. But now you're telling me that there's the possibility that there's the overcount, and you're almost encouraged to overcount because that equals more federal money.
Correct.
Wow. I mean, it just gets worse the more I know.
Every day that I get into this, since the murder of Gabriel, it becomes more mind-boggling, more frustrating, more maddening. And that when I looked at the three Democrats that were running, I just looked and just saw failure all the way around. They've been in office. They've had chances to fix this, to solve this. These aren't new problems. These aren't new pandemic problems. These problems mm-hmm. have been with us for decades. I used to work at the Bullocks off corporate office in downtown LA on Hope Street, and homelessness down there has been a problem forever. And yeah. nobody's doing anything about it. They just don't care, in my opinion. They act Correct. Like they care, and they're all coming out with these, quote, solutions now. But where have you been? You've been in office for decades, some of you. Where have you been? You haven't been acting on these. And, you know, and they'll tell you, oh, well, we're getting, affordable housing built because we're forcing developers to save 20-30% of their units for low-income housing. But all that does is raise the cost of the market rate housing, which mm-hmm. then in turn, in a macroeconomic scale, takes the landlord down the street and says, oh, wow, that new building went up. Their market rate, they're getting, $4,000 for a tiny one-bedroom apartment. Well, gee, I've got a larger one-bedroom apartment. Maybe it's only getting $1,800 a month right now. I could raise it to $3,000. And so it just keeps snowballing and snowballing and snowballing instead of looking at the regulations, the time constraints it takes to build a building, the lawsuits that go into it, the CEQA lawsuits. I mean, I've got a developer next to my house across the alley that wants to build a 7-story apartment building. He's actually agreed to put 20% of it into low-income housing. It's been 10 years. He's paid for the property. He's making his mortgage payments. He's paying his property taxes. He's paying his insurance on the property, but he can't get the project off the ground because of lawsuits from one neighbor who is not even affected. He won't have anybody looking down in his backyard who says, I don't want this project near my house. Well, if we keep allowing those kinds of things to happen for a project that the city has already approved, the planning department has already approved it. It took them 2.5 years just to get through the planning process. And now here we are 10 years later and the guy still can't build because he's tied up in a lawsuit that a judge threw out the first time, and now the people are appealing.
At what point does he just sell the property and just say, I'm done with it?
Yeah. Or just never develop it because he's right. Like, you know what? Or my worst fear is he says, you know what? I'm not going to build housing on it. I'm going to go build another medical office building, which is, another thing we need in our neighborhood. I live in the Beverly Grove neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And San Vicente is becoming a ghetto of medical office buildings. So instead of having neighbors that you can talk to and relate to and meet, and you've got transient people coming in and out of doctor's offices all day long, taking up street parking, rather than having neighbors and businesses on the streets that you can walk to. We talk about walkable, livable cities, but then we don't do anything to build them. We ghettoize neighborhoods with medical infrastructure. So then there are no businesses, there are no restaurants, there are no neighbors to go hang out with on these streets. And so what do we have to do? Well, everything that the advocates tell us not to do, we have to get in our car and go drive somewhere else to enjoy our lives. We can't even enjoy them in our own neighborhoods.
Let me just say, Craig, just one last thing. Just wanted to,
tangents.
No. I'm agreeing with everything that you're saying, pretty much. I just wanted to say one thing to allude to an earlier point that we made, which is the thing that bothers me is just, I just want a sense of proportion to how we, because even though there's a lot of homeless, that's still a really small fraction of the overall population of Los Angeles and Los Angeles County. And yet the amount of money being funneled to that small percentage of people is way out of proportion to what it's being spent on in other communities. So, I mean, there's many different problems within this one problem, and it's a problem that has a financial proportion that's way out of
it's way out of proportion. I mean, even the cheapest housing or cheapest solutions that the city and county are coming up with are exorbitantly expensive for what they're proposing. I'm a big proponent of tiny house communities to as a temporary solution to get people immediately off the streets so that we can get them stabilized and then transfer them to the help, either the help that they need or into some type of housing situation if they're ready for that, and Craig, get them the job training they need. But let's stop spending. We're spending $40,000 to $70,000 on sheds. You could go buy at Home Depot for retail for $5,000 to $8,000, and then we're forcing them to put them on foundations so that they don't fall off the ground during an earthquake. Now, these are supposed to be temporary, not permanent. So why? A shed does not need to be on a permanent foundation. It's insanity.
Craig, let's stop there because I want to talk about this tiny house thing because there's one near me and I have some questions about it and I'm hoping that you can illuminate me on the other side. This is TNT Radio. My show is Deprogram. I'm your host, Michael Parker. I'm speaking with Craig Brill, independent running for Los Angeles County Supervisor, District 3. We'll be right back.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th. With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Jeremy Beck.
The primary elections on the 17th of May have produced some results of note. Thomas Massie's resounding win with 75% of the vote in Kentucky's 4th district is particularly important. Massie was endorsed by former President Donald Trump, which no doubt helped him in his battle against three other Republican Party challengers. The main challenger, Claire Wirth, attacked Massie's voting record in many areas, suggesting that he's a rhino, a Republican in name only. This was a bit rich, to say the least, considering Massie is one of the most conservative members of Congress. Two other important wins were for Senators Mike Crapo of Idaho and Rand Paul of Kentucky, both of whom, along with Massie, voted against the $40 billion so-called security assistance package for Ukraine, which in reality risks an escalated war between the world's nuclear-armed superpowers. I'm Jeremy Beck for TNT Radio.
Hey Australia, there's never been a better time to check up on your health. We have a world-class healthcare system that's easy to access, even when you can't be there in person. Telehealth enables you to catch up with your GP or health professional, and the Australian government has now made it permanently available through Medicare. Show your health some love, face-to-face, by phone or video call. Care for your health. Find out more at australia.gov.au. Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
Bad government, climate change alarmists, vaccine mandates. The threats to your freedom are many, but that's where we can help.
Hear more truths.
TNT Radio.
All the time.
Our truth shall set you free.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
We are back for our final segment with Craig Brill. He is an independent running for Los Angeles County Supervisor, District 3. And I want to give Craig pretty much the remainder of the segment to tell us everything else we need to know about Craig and why he's doing this. But Craig, I do have one follow-up I want to talk to you about. So the tiny house thing, there is one of those tiny house settlements very close to me off the 170, you know, if I'm headed towards North Hollywood and I drive by it. I mentioned it on the show a few times and here's where I'm a little bit mystified. I never see anybody there. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they're all inside of them, but it doesn't, you know, I mean, I'll see a couple of bicycles. It looks well maintained. It's very clean. They've set all the houses on what was a parking lot kind of area, but I just never see any people there. So I don't, is it not being used or I don't know what's happening with it?
My understanding is that it is being used and that it is to capacity because, if it is not, I will be very upset because I have tried personally to get people off the streets and into these programs, and it's been hard as hell because we're told, oh, everything's full and people got to get into the queue. And that's another problem with our homeless industrial complex is people get put into the system, the caseworker leaves, and the case file gets closed. It's and so, you know, people who want to help, want off the streets, keep getting doors shut in their face when we should be taking those people immediately. and getting them the help that they need and getting them off the streets. And part of the problem with one of the tiny homes, with the one you had, I know some people that lots I've read have gone into them and have left the program because they don't allow them to lock their doors at night.
What?
Well, there's supposed to be no drugs going on. They're supposed to be following the rules. So if they're afraid that the mentally ill guy next door is going to come in at night having an episode and threaten them, then you're no safer than you're going, sending them into a congregate shelter, which everybody complains are unsafe. And they've been unsafe for 75 years, but we haven't figured out how to make a shelter safe. You know, one of the things about giving them a tiny home and the tiny house is to give them a sense of home, give them a sense of they have something. They can lock the door. Their stuff is protected. They don't have to rely on others. It gives them that ability. You know, it's like, you know, giving someone fish or teaching them to fish, right?
Mm-hmm.
You teach them to fish, they'll eat all day. You give them a fish, they eat for a day and they're coming back tomorrow. So we're not, you know, we're not helping them gain their independence and getting used to their independence. You know, there was a guy, Elvis Summers, I don't know if you remember, it was 15, 20 years ago, built tiny homes along the overpasses on the 110 freeway and, you know, just gave them to people. They cost like $2,000 for him to build. He had little solar panels on them, little battery backup so that they could charge their phones and have little nights lights at night.
Genius.
And he took a guy off the street that he literally thought was an addict, mentally ill, thought the guy was just batshit crazy, excuse my French.
Mm-hmm. No worries.
And the guy went in to his tiny home, stayed there for 3 days inside there, sleeping. Came out, was as normal as can be. But that's what being homeless does to somebody who's sane. You go through weeks, months, years of sleep deprivation, you're going to seem pretty out of it and pretty crazy. And be suffering from some sort of mental illness just from sleep deprivation.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense. You know, as you were describing that, I am vaguely remembering that. And this guy was building these things for $2,000 and just putting a solar panel on the top and good to go.
Yep. And the city came in and tore them all down. Said you got to have a permit. They're unsafe. You can't do this. But, you know, the city would rather have them on tents shooting up in your neighborhoods and having your kids walk through it instead of trying to get people off the streets, get them stabilized and get them the help that they need.
Craig, I want to spend these last.
Sure.
Yeah. These last 8 minutes, because first of all, I appreciate you being on here. And basically, I pretty much agree with everything you're saying, but I want you to have the remaining time to speak to the audience and tell them what else we need to know about you and what other causes you're particularly concerned about or that you want to deal with when you run, when you win this supervisor seat.
Yeah. Well, basically, audience, I'm not your regular politician. I'm not going to come to you with sound bites. I'm speaking from my heart. I'm speaking from the knowledge I've learned getting into this. My biggest passion is homelessness and public safety. And we also have a LA County Board of Supervisors that has defunded our sheriff's department to dangerously low levels that if you live in the hillsides, you're now in danger of having homeless fires in our hillsides because we don't have the manpower to police the homeless encampments in our hills. So public safety, homelessness, and energy production is a big passion of mine. We, you know, wind and solar are great, but they're not the cleanest forms of energy. We need to move back to nuclear energy. We need to the new technology. It is safe. We reuse the spent fuel rods so that by the time you have your nuclear waste, it fits in the size of a coffee can. I mean, we shut down San Onofre, which was feeding about 700,000 homes on average. And now our governor wants to shut down Diablo Canyon, although he's having some second thoughts. But we can't keep the power on. in California or in Los Angeles with rolling blackouts. And the only way it's been prevented since Gavin Newsom has been in office has been he's secretly buying from coal and diesel powered power plants to bring energy into the state to keep the power on at night when we don't have enough energy. And as we get more and more electric cars onto the grid, where is this energy going to come from? We've got a water crisis. We've approved voter bonds to build storage. And since we approved those bonds, not one storage facility has been built. The crazy AQMD commissioners and the Coastal Commission have said no to water desalination. If we're going to take the position that climate change is as alarming as everybody tells us, that our droughts are going to get worse, where are we going to get our water from? If we don't ramp up desalination plants, which can be built right next to a nice nuclear reactor, so it's not energy intensive, that nuclear reactor can power it all day long. And we could have clean, cheap, reliable water, along with clean, cheap, reliable energy. Nuclear energy is the only carbon-free energy emission. Everything else, solar panels take strip mining to get to the rare earth minerals.
Yes.
So you want clean energy? We have to go nuclear. Europe is re-embracing nuclear technology. They're reopening their nuclear energy facilities. They're building new ones. And we need to step up into the modern era and do the same thing. That's why I'm running. So I hope you'll go to craigforsupervisorla.com. You can find more about me there. And I ask you for your vote. That's all I can do. And I will work tirelessly for the people of my community, because we need average normal citizens to stand up to get into government. We can't allow these career politicians to keep destroying our beautiful county and state.
Craig, I want to say I applaud you. And I said this to the gentleman, Thomas Allison, who was on before us. I got to say, man, it's like I was one of those guys. I was ready to bail on L.A. And
I hear you.
I'm glad that I didn't, because this job has come along. I've worked in media for a long time. I've worked in the entertainment business. And what I have been relieved to see doing this job for this great new company, TNT, out of Australia, is that every person that's running for public office that's come on the show has made me feel good, because they're all people like you who want to return to common sense. And, you know, they're not all on Republican sides. They're coming from, you know, from all spectrums, but the deal is, it's time. It's like, you know, okay.
No, it is time. I mean, I have far left progressives that are telling me, oh my God, I'm so glad you're running, because I was going to vote for a Republican for the first time in my life and you saved me.
Yeah. Well, you know what, when you mentioned desalinization plants, it's like, yes. Are you kidding me? Absolutely. It's like supposedly we're in this unprecedented drought, which we clearly are.
Right.
Well, my God, we're going to need some water. And so we don't have time to get into this today, because there's other things about the water situation that really bum me out. But I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought up energy, because all of these are real things. Gavin Newsom ain't cutting it. The current government is not cutting it. And we need people that want to do the hard things now.
Yeah. And neither are our local leaders. I mean, we just let water just barrel down the LA River out to sea instead of capturing it and saving it for our use.
That is exactly right. Craig Brill, one more time, give them that address, how they can find you, how they can donate to your cause.
It is craig@supervisorla.com. And if you go to my website, there is a donate button right there. You could donate $5, $3, $20, $100. Every bit helps to help me get my message out, because the media has a stranglehold and is not reporting. So actually, Michael, thank you very much for having me on.
It's been my honor.
Guys like you that allow guys like us to actually be able to run, because the establishment really tries to keep us out of it.
Are you on social media? Can people find you on
Twitter?
I am
on social media. It's Craig A. Brill on Twitter. Craig for Supervisor LA on Facebook. And I believe it's Craig Allenbrill on Instagram.
Craig, it's a pleasure to make your acquaintance, man. Thank you for taking time. I wish you the absolute best of luck. You're speaking almost illegal levels of common sense.
I might get thrown into jail for it. Be careful.
That's right. Craig, cheers, man. Sir. Thank you for coming on. Best of luck.
Awesome. You
guys,
it's
that time. We gotta roll up the windows, lock the car, and move on. It's TNT Radio. Deprogram is my show. My name is Michael Parker, and I'll be back with you tomorrow. We'll see you then.